Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Friday post round one NFL draft, one of my favorite shows of the year, live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, it was everything it was billed to be, one of the great first rounds, first 2.5 hours of the NFL draft ever. Aggressive teams, patient teams. I thought outside of one or two picks, I thought most teams got what they wanted. Joy Taylor is joining me. That was fun.
It was a great night. And it just felt good. It was so nice to see the fans back at the draft. I've forgotten a little bit how cool the draft is. Like I love it though. I love seeing the guys go out and hug the commissioner and, you know, they're crying with their families in the back and seeing the guys at home. I think it was a great night for the NFL and a great night for fans.
Yeah, it's very relatable. The commissioner makes it relatable. You walk up to fans, you show a fan.
I like that they had his chair there.
I loved it. I thought it was great. So I'm very happy this morning. I'm very happy because I don't really root for teams. I've told you this. I root for people. I root for people especially I know. And San Francisco got Trey Lance, and I thought it was the right move. I just felt, honestly, it made me really happy. I felt sick yesterday going into the draft. I love John Lynch. I cover John Lynch. He used to be a co-worker at Fox, and I love the Shanahans. Don't know him well, but love him. And I was just sick to my stomach that Kyle Shanahan, super smart, he's the star of the franchise right now. He'd fallen in love with Mac Jones. And it just got horrible press when that story leaked. I mean, awful. Nobody liked it. And even if Mac Jones would have had some success, and I think he would have had some success, nobody was going to ever buy into it. And then they were going to trade Jimmy Garoppolo because that would at least validate playing Mac Jones. And instead, they didn't. And they'd have low-ceiling Mac Jones, who I think is a nice fit in New England, but against Russell Wilson twice a year, and Kyler Murray twice a year, and Matt Stafford twice a year, he would be the least athletic, smallest in terms of arm, dynamic playmaking ability. I just felt sick to my stomach. And instead, they did the right thing. They drafted the bigger, stronger, more athletic, significantly higher upside in Trey Lance. They're going to keep Garoppolo, according to stories this morning, until the wheels fall off. They should. There's no reason to trade Jimmy until Trey's ready to go. You gave up a second-round pick for him. That's nothing. You already won that trade. You don't need to win that trade twice. All the rumors, all the conjecture, and two smart people, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, did it right. Look around the NFL, folks. I mean, it's nice that Phillip Rivers got to the playoffs, but you got to have a quarterback who can move a little. The rules are different now. Offensive lines generally aren't as good. You need some athletic ability. And Mac Jones will be nice in New England. But as we all slobbered over Mac Jones and how great and how brilliant and how smart he was, I got to give ESPN credit. Booger McFarland came out yesterday during the draft, and he did something that I really liked. He went and showed the 5 times last year that Mac Jones didn't have perfect protection. He couldn't outrun defensive tackles. Booger did a good job. He's like, yeah, this is what happens when the Alabama pass protection breaks down, you know, 4 times a year. And he couldn't move. And oh, by the way, do you understand that the Rams, the Seahawks, and Arizona have 3 of the top 5 pass rushes in the NFL? And they got better because now J.J. Watt's in town. Like whoever the Niners took was going to succeed. That's not really the question. But the pressure on Mac Jones in San Francisco would have been relentless because you gave up so much for him and because this is a Super Bowl roster. Okay, and I kept hearing this. Well, he's a good fit for Kyle's system. Okay, I get that. I do get that, and I can defend that. But Kyle Shanahan's 2-0-2 in Super Bowls, and he had guys that were perfect fits, pocket guys. Maybe if he had a quarterback that was a little more dynamic, he'd be 2-0 in Super Bowls and not 0-2. To move up to number three and give up all those picks is not just about getting a guy who fits. It's about elevating the position. It's not about safe. He fits. He's safe. Well, then go to the third round, fourth round, and get a Kirk Cousins. When you give up that many picks and you go to three, brother, you got to swing. You got to take a big swing on a quarterback talent, not play it safe. And again, Mackle work in New England to the level he can work. The ceiling's low. But I entered yesterday thinking, oh, it's going to be awful. Because say what you want. The fans matter and the media matters. And when they're all against you on a pick, I've been watching the media. I've been in it for 30 years. There's two ways to write the same story. If they hate your pick, not only you can win and they won't give you credit. You have to win big for years until the media acknowledges, all right, maybe you were right. It was just going to be an avalanche of ugly. And every time Mac played against Russell Wilson, you're going to be like, Russell's running around making plays. And then Kyler Murray's running around making plays. And Matt Stafford's got the golden arm from above. And you got Mac Jones. Now you took a big swing. Now you validate moving up. Made me very, very happy. All right, now a general manager, Ryan Pace in Chicago. I usually clobber. Got to be honest. There's more than one way to get what you want in the draft. The Chargers got what they wanted, and they were patient. I think New England got what they wanted, a quarterback, and they were patient. The Jets were aggressive. The Bears were aggressive. So was Philadelphia, and they got what they wanted. First of all, to the media, stop creating drama before we have it. Justin Fields, this is outrageous. Let's just let the draft develop. He's just too talented to drop too far. And Chicago said, we got Andy Dalton. We're in a division with Aaron Rodgers, at least for the time being. We got to get dynamic. And they did. This is a great spot for Justin Fields. Super clever head coach. Made the playoffs two of the last 3 years. Way above average defense. Allen Robinson, star receiver. And Tariq Cohen comes back. By the way, for the first time in the history of the NFL, the Chicago Bears feel better about their quarterback than the Packers do. Because nobody knows how Aaron and Green Bay is going to end. In Chicago today, hope, optimism. We did it. And I have banged on Ryan Pace for a couple of years. This took guts. It took some luck. But Matt Nagy went 25-13 with Trubisky. Andy Dalton, for the record, very much like Alex Smith, a great mentor for a year. Andy watches the draft. He knows his role. Play until the kid is ready. But I'll tell you this morning, for all those who feared Justin Fields would drop, if I'm Justin Fields, I would not trade places with Zach Wilson of the Jets. I don't feel this is a fingers-crossing situation. Clever head coach, star receiver, Tariq Cohen comes back, good enough defense. And by the way, Zach Wilson's in a division with Belichick twice a year and Brian Flores twice a year and Sean McDermott twice a year. And Justin Fields is like, I get the Lions twice a year? Green Bay may not have Aaron Rodgers in 3 hours. Minnesota's got Kirk Cousins, so what? Took courage, took guts. It was a step-up move by the Chicago Bears. But can I fire a shot at the media? Let's all take a deep breath. The quarterbacks kind of went where they were supposed to go. The prodigy went number one. And then Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Justin Fields, they're dynamic. They went next. The order's not that relevant. Those were the three guys you're like, ooh, whoa, whoa. And then Mac Jones went fifth. And that's where Mac Jones should go. Doesn't mean he can't succeed more than Zach because he gets Belichick and Zach gets Robert Saleh. But this is a good move by Chicago. This is a really good move, and it's a great, great place. And there is no guarantee in this NFL. You get the wrong coach, ask Jared Goff's first year and then his following years. The coach matters. Matt Nagy's good. And if you question it, he got Mitch Trubisky to the playoffs twice in a division with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Aaron Rodgers is petty. Aaron Rodgers is passive-aggressive. Aaron Rodgers is a grudge holder. Yesterday, he was vindictive. Yesterday, Aaron Rodgers was calculated. Not a coincidence. On the one-year anniversary, he was humiliated by the Jordan Love pick. He comes back and humiliates the Green Bay Packers. But I get it. He's frustrated. So give me a minute to tell a story here. I have a friend. He grew up with my only friend that grew up with money. His dad died. He has an estate. He doesn't take big swings financially. He hits doubles because he feels he owes the family and the grandkids what the father built. I didn't grow up with that. I didn't grow up with money. I take major risks, leave jobs all the time. We're good friends, but we see the world differently, and we should. Green Bay is unique. They don't have an owner. It's a top 3 to 5 sports brand in the country. Brian Gutekunst, the GM, feels like more of an executor of a will than he does GM for a football team. Both Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre won Super Bowls early when they were cheap. And in neither instance, with this GM or that GM, did they mortgage the future, push money down the road, go big in free agency, and try to win 4 and 5 by mortgaging the future. It's not who they are. This is a massive, legendary sports brand in America. Yankees, Lakers, Cowboys, Packers. It is in that class. Notre Dame football, Duke basketball. And with no owner, the general manager and the presidents that run it have a sense of history and responsibility to not forego the future for today. Did it with Favre, who didn't ever play with that many great players. Look at what Brady's playing with now. Look at what Mahomes is playing with now. So it's frustrating to Aaron. In fact, I don't think it's a coincidence that Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl, Russell Wilson and Aaron both freak out. They're contemporaries. But the difference is Seattle rolls the dice. Seattle goes for it. Seattle's aggressive, even if their salary cap situation's not ideal. Green Bay doesn't. They don't have an owner. This has never been a great fit. The nature of the Packers is frugal, based on tradition and history, a little conservative. They're protecting the brand. The nature of Aaron is California cool, progressive, aggressive, and go for it. It's not a good fit. Listen, I'm watching all the draft rooms last night. And I mean, the Jets are high-fiving and coming out of their chairs, and the Lions are going crazy in their draft room. And look at the Lions guys are high-fiving and hugging it. Chargers, Dean Spanos is high-fiving. And the Jets, and, oh, there's the Bears. They're like, yeah, everybody's walking into the room and out of the room. And yeah, the Jets are like, woo, awesome. And the Packers, kind of bleak. Little bit like a morgue. Aaron is sucking the life out of this franchise. And I get it. There was a study done years ago at the University of Washington. They took 100 couples and tried to decipher, distill down to the very instance why couples got divorced. It wasn't money and it wasn't kids. It wasn't family issues. 99% of the time, people got divorced when they had lost respect for each other, when they would roll their eyes in public at a party at their wife's comment, or poke their friends in the ribs, point to their husband. Green Bay humiliated Aaron in public. Yesterday, Aaron humiliated Green Bay in public. It's over. It's over. It may not be over now. It may not be over this year. But when you lose respect and start humiliating the other, hire a lawyer. For the record, Aaron's agent is David Dunn. He was Carson Palmer's agent. He got Carson Palmer out of Cincinnati. Stay tuned.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Thomas was the third overall pick out of Wisconsin, went on to play for years, never missed a snap, never missed a game, 11 NFL seasons and 10 Pro Bowls in the argument for a top three or four left tackle in the history of the game. NFL Network analyst Joe Thomas now joining us live as they proudly brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. They proudly held that last night in Cleveland. First of all, it was a good night for the city. I thought the Browns did a great job in their draft pick. You know, Joe, you were a very high draft pick, and you went to a team that didn't have a lot of winning in recent years. And so Zach Wilson, similarly, some of these kids go to organizations. So you went from winning Wisconsin to the Browns, who were struggling. And I want you to tell my audience, take me there psychologically, not just adapting to the NFL, but going from winning to losing, was it a struggle for you?
Well, I think that's one of the big struggles that any player that goes to the NFL has to face. It's dealing with the losing. How are you going to handle it? Are you going to be a guy that curls up into a ball and starts feeling sorry for yourself? Or is it going to motivate you to bring out the best in yourself, to put in the extra hours in the film room, to do what it takes on the football field to get better? And I think that's something that's difficult, because a lot of guys that come from these college programs like Alabama, and when I came out of Wisconsin, we had not lost very much. You're not used to losing much at all. And so you don't know how to handle that. And guys can just as easily go both ways, where they start feeling sorry for themselves, or it can motivate them, and you can all of a sudden see them elevate to another level.
You know, one of the moves I liked, Joe, is Joe Douglas is the new GM of the Jets. I know him a little bit. I think he's really smart. And so Sam Darnold never had a chance in New York. Forget everything else. He was under duress. They never got the O-line right. So last year, Joe Douglas goes and gets Becton, the left tackle. And then he gets his quarterback. And I love what they did last night. Zach Wilson may fail in New York, but he's not going to fail because he's running for his life. They moved up to get Elijah Vera Tucker, a terrific, clean player out of USC. He'll play on the interior. Now, some people think you don't move up for a guard. But take my audience into the chemistry of an offensive line. In all your years in Cleveland, you played with a lot of different guards, Joe. When teams move up for guards, left tackle, we've always understood. You get a left tackle. That's the guy you pay. He's the great one. But the value of the guard to a lot of people is completely overrated. Your thought on what it means?
Well, I love what the Jets are doing. They're not making the mistake of putting the rookie quarterback out there when he doesn't have a supporting cast, because rookie quarterbacks need development. They need protection. So you can either protect them with a great pass-blocking offensive line, or you can put them out front with an offensive line that does a great job with a great running game. So you don't have to put too much pressure on that rookie quarterback to win before he's ready with his arm. And the new offense that they have there, Mike LaFleur, he's actually a coach that worked with me when I was in Cleveland. He's bringing the Kyle Shanahan wide offensive running zone scheme. And the guard becomes really important when you're running that offensive run scheme, because what you have to do to be able to get that run play started is you got to keep the guard and the defensive tackle on the line of scrimmage, get him running down the line of scrimmage so that the running back can get 3 to 5 steps in the ground before he has to deviate from the angle that he's running at, so that he can start creating those running lanes with that stretch zone concept that they have. And so when I was in Cleveland, we had Joel Bitonio and we had John Greco as our guards. You need big, strong guards that can keep those defensive tackles on the line of scrimmage. They don't allow penetration. It allows the play to get started, get that running back's shoulders facing down the field so that they can fall forward for a minimum of 4 yards so you can line up and run it again. And in this scheme, guard is an absolute premium when you're talking about being able to move defensive tackles like guys like Aaron Donald off the line of scrimmage and not allowing penetration, because a lot of times in this scheme, when you're a guard, you're going one-on-one, you don't have center help. Because if a guard has a three technique, which is an outside alignment by a defensive tackle, usually that nose guard is a backside alignment on the center. So the center is going to be double teaming with the backside guard, and that front side guard is all by himself on an island. That's one of the toughest things in all of pro football to do. And that's why you go get a guy like Elijah Vera Tucker from USC, who is my second favorite offensive lineman in this draft.
Wow. And everybody just got smarter, folks. You just got concepts 101 from Joe Thomas. Now, it's interesting. I'm not going to ask you for a number, but you played with some rookie quarterbacks in Cleveland, I would imagine. I think most of these guys ended up in really nice spots. But I want you to go back to your career and the rookie quarterbacks you had. What advice would you give Mac Jones or Trey Lance or Zach Wilson? I mean, we know Trevor Lawrence is going to play really early. What advice would you give them in their first camp about integrating your personality with the team, gaining respect, because you're a kid? Nobody knows if you're any good. And by the way, here's your franchise. Run the offense. What would the advice be?
I would say listen first, talk second. You've got so much to learn, and I know you're coming from a great program. Like, if you're Mac Jones, you're coming from Alabama, you've won national championships, you've been at the top of the game in the college world. But in the NFL, it's a different world. And so the best thing you can do as a rookie is gain the respect of the guys around you by putting in the effort, spending those extra hours after everybody goes home, because those are the things that your teammates, your veteran teammates notice, and that gets you the respect. The thing that doesn't get you the respect is when you show up and you start acting like you've been there and you know what it takes to win at the NFL level. So putting in your work, keeping your mouth shut, opening those eyes, asking a million questions, working harder than everybody around you, that's how you gain the respect. That's how you move up the ladder and become a great NFL professional.
By the way, the Browns drafted Greg Newsome, a corner from Northwestern. I actually had him going to Arizona in my mock draft. A lot of people didn't have him first round. I liked him a lot. Your thoughts on the Browns, what they got? I mean, listen, they've upgraded their secondary. It was a clear problem last year. They're in a division with Joe Burrow can throw it, and the Steelers have great receivers, and I kind of thought it was a good pick. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a great pick, and especially with Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator for the Browns. He likes playing a lot of dime, a lot of nickel, where he's going to put a lot of defensive backs on the field. It gives him a lot of flexibility. And when you add a guy like Greg Newsome, who's very fundamentally sound, he's very smart, he's very savvy, he's long, he's athletic, he can make a lot of those plays. He is exactly the type of player that the Browns want to add to that secondary to allow them to lock down some of the passing game, to give a guy like Myles Garrett, who's one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, the time he needs to get to that quarterback. So for the Browns, they were in an excellent position. They didn't have to reach to take anybody. They were allowed to be able to just take the highest rated defensive player on their board. And it just so happened that they got one guy that they really didn't expect, and it was at a cornerback position that they really covet.
Yeah, boy, if you ask me what units in the NFL improved the most this offseason, the Chargers offensive line and the Browns secondary have made massive improvements. By the way, your thoughts, we were very skeptical of Mac Jones 3, Trey Lance instead goes 3. Your general thoughts on that?
Well, I like Trey Lance to the Niners a lot better. Playing for Kyle Shanahan, understand how much he likes a big quarterback that can get outside the pocket and that can throw accurately down the field on the move. And that's exactly who Trey Lance is. I don't think you move up to the number 3 spot to get something like a Mac Jones, who is basically a guy like Kyle has had a number of times in his career that have kept him from winning Super Bowls. Let's be honest. Jimmy G, Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub, Kirk Cousins, those guys are all kind of in the same mold as a Mac Jones. He wanted to be able to maximize what this offense can do, and to have a guy like Trey Lance with that skill set gives him an ability to finally see what is the ceiling that I have for this offense. And so that made perfect sense for me. And I actually like Mac Jones a lot better to the Patriots than just about anybody else, because he's the most like what they had with Tom Brady. And so Josh McDaniels is going to be able to take that playbook that they had with Brady and say, hey, Mac, memorize everything you got right here. And he's going to be able to do that quickly. And they're going to be able to adapt very quickly to what they want to run from a schematic standpoint, and to be able to maximize the talent that they brought in during free agency.
All right, Joe Thomas, all-time classy guy. Does great job at the NFL Network. Their coverage, by the way, rounds 2 and 3 starts at 4 Pacific, 7 Eastern. Joe, we love you. You taught us about football today. I got my notebook out here. I appreciate all the schematic lessons I got. Great seeing you.
Thanks for having me on, Colin.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
By and large, I thought most teams... I'll give you a pick that I thought was interesting. The Buccaneers drafted last, and a lot of people, myself included, thought they'd go get a quarterback. The fact that they got an edge rusher, Joe Tryon from Washington, that's a good player. And the fact that he'll be able to slowly work himself in behind a Shaq Barrett, a JPP, that's a really good pick. There's a reason Jason Light of the Buccaneers has a stocked roster. That's a really good pick at number 32. There are about three edge rushers, three or four in this draft I liked, and to get one at 32 is pretty good. But by and large, I liked almost what everybody did, and I like to be optimistic because who knows if they get the right coaching. There was two draft picks I didn't love. Kadarius Toney, the New York Giants, went and got a receiver. He's small, a little bit of durability concerns. I don't think wide receiver. Now they have Kenny Golladay. Sterling Shepard, I think, is a really solid two or three. Darius Slayton's a nice player. They got Evan Ingram, Kyle Rudolph. Saquon Barkley's a good pass catcher. I just didn't think wide receiver is what they need. There's a million in this draft. That didn't work for me. But I think he can play. They just kind of, they call it reaching or overdrafting. I thought they, Kwity Paye was available. I think he's a better prospect. But the Raiders drafting Alex Leatherwood, what the hell are you doing? He's a second, third round player. Like, I've been doing this 30 years. I've got enough contacts. I've asked about Alex Leatherwood. He's a guard. He's not going to play tackle in the NFL. He's a good guard prospect. Good guards, not great guards. Quentin Nelson's a great guard. Good guard, that's second round, maybe top of the third. And everybody kept saying last, oh, it's a ceiling. Oh, tell me the last Alabama player that came out and hadn't realized, if not their ceiling, close to it. Nobody squeezes your talent out like Nick Saban in college. Now, there are coaches in college that can recruit and can't coach, and they win games. If you can just recruit, you can win a lot of games. You're not beating Bama. You're not beating Dabo Sweeney. You're not beating Brian Kelly. You can win a lot of games. Alex Leatherwood peaked in the middle of last year. There's nothing wrong with him. He's going to start in the NFL. He's going to be a nice interior lineman. But this idea that he has some ceiling, that's what they said about James Carpenter when the Seahawks took a Nick Saban offensive lineman. James Carpenter's fine. He's played in the league. But he was available next round. Nick Saban squeezes talent out of his players. What you see is what you are getting. This is not some guy from a small school, Wyoming, that doesn't have NFL experience. So, I mean, listen, you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. So what do you need when you're in a division with a Hall of Fame quarterback? You need a pass rush. That's why the Bears go out and get Khalil Mack, because they face Aaron Rodgers twice a year. It's why Buffalo years ago spent a lot of money on Mario Williams, because you face Tom Brady twice a year. When you're in a division with Peyton Manning in his prime, or Russell Wilson, or Aaron Rodgers, or Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, you go get pass rushers. Make them uncomfortable. Kwity Paye was available. Better prospect than Alex Leatherwood. Jalen Phillips, by the way, not a shock. Kwity Paye and Jalen Phillips, two of my favorite GMs in the NFL are who? Chris Ballard of the Colts and Greer. I think it's Scott Greer of the Dolphins. Real clever guy. They've had a Chris Greer, excuse me. I apologize. These are really sharp guys. They really do nice work. Very well respected. They went and got edge rushers. It's exactly what the Raiders need. If you're in a division with Mahomes twice a year and Justin Herbert twice a year, and hell, if you read stories this morning, Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing for Denver in 45 minutes. You got to get pass rushers, not guards. The Raiders' offensive line is okay. It's not terrible. It's kind of good, actually. I just didn't like this. And by the way, Gruden, you know what it is? The other thing that's funny about the Raiders, I swear to God, they only draft Bama and Clemson, Ohio State players. I guess when you don't make the playoffs and you're sitting home watching the college football playoff, you know, it's save some time and money on travel. You can just draft whoever you watch in the playoff. But Kadarius Toney for the Giants, I didn't like. He missed six games in 2019. He's a small guy, plays really hard. Don't love that pick. Giants wide receiving tight end running back core is excellent. Giants have plenty of weapons. Giants, Daniel Jones needs to win games. This is a very good roster right now. O-line's not great, but I didn't love that. But that kid's a playmaker. Come on. And again, I hope Alex Leatherwood makes it. I'm not rooting against him. If the Raiders would have taken him second round, I'd be like, okay, that's fine. All right, Thomas Dimitroff is a long time. He was director of scouting for the Patriots as they built that dynasty up. Then he went to the Falcons, never afraid to make a big gutsy move, the Julio Jones trade, which, by the way, Julio is one of the great draft picks, wide receiver picks in the last 10 years. And Thomas is now joining us live. So it is, Thomas, I'm going to throw a theory at one of my goofy theories. So here goes. So this will take me a minute, but Green Bay is different. They don't have an owner, and they have a very top five or six national brand. And I'm talking like Notre Dame football, Green Bay Packers, Lakers, Yankees. And I always feel like if you're a GM for the Packers, once they paid Favre and Aaron Rodgers, after their Super Bowls, they had to pay them, and they did not mortgage the future for either. And I've always felt like the GM of the Packers is different. You could have gone to Arthur Blank or Robert Kraft and say, I got a question. But I feel like when you're the general manager of the Packers, you're almost like an executor of a will of a family company that you're not going to mortgage the future. This is a proud brand. Well, Tampa, the Glazers just want to win. They've been irrelevant. They've been lousy. And so we all bang on Green Bay, myself included, for not going for it with Aaron and pushing money down the road and mortgaging the future. But is it possible the Packers simply, Thomas, have a different responsibility to that community?
I don't think they have a different responsibility, Colin, to the community. They have the responsibility to win, and they have the responsibility and the reputation and the history of being so successful. This is a really important time for that organization, of course. And when you have people like Aaron Rodgers, and I will bring it a little closer to home, and people like Julio Jones talking about trades, as an organization, as a GM, that's complicated. You better make sure you have a way to figure that out, because both organizations, and in this case, the Packers are riding on this quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is one of the best ever to play in this game. And of course, they want and need to get this done. They have to be creative. They have to be in line with this. They have a head coach who is a good head coach, but he's that much better, of course, with Aaron Rodgers.
Would you call Aaron today if you ran the Packers? Would you call? What would you do today?
I would call. I'm a communicative person, Colin. That's vital. I'm sure they've been talking. Brian Gutekunst has been calling. I'm sure there have been discussions. In the very end, in today's world, I really feel like these marquee players, as much as they loved where they've been and they've done so well and made a lot of money, they don't like to be hamstrung in the very end. And again, I feel more and more of that with Julio and Aaron in this situation. These are two marquee players that are, the organizations build a lot around them, of course.
Yeah. So I'm a Trey Lance fan, met the kid, just love him. I think he's thoughtful, eye contact, humble, smart. There's a lot to like on tape, film, obviously. I was a little worried that they'd given so much up to move to 3. I just couldn't get past this. Mac Jones in a division, Russell Wilson twice a year, Kyler Murray twice a year, Matt Stafford, and I got low ceiling unathletic guy. And what optically is going to that look like 6 times a year to my fans, to my – it bothered me. I thought my division's got world-class quarterback talent. Am I just talking – have you ever even considered something that – is that ridiculous?
No, like that's vital. I mean, I looked at that situation there. I was a bit surprised. I wasn't sure they were going to go in that direction. Everyone was talking about Mac Jones, of course. I mean, the idea of having an athlete like Trey, a guy that they could build with. I know they made a comment that Garoppolo is the leader going into the season and such. Help him grow and learn. You have to look at what's around you. That was a monumental move by an organization. John Lynch. And obviously, where Coach Shanahan is, they know what they're doing. But they also know after bringing in Garoppolo how important it is to make sure that this quarterback decision works for them into the future.
I said this yesterday, Thomas Dimitroff joining us. I said, listen, you only gave up a second for Jimmy Garoppolo. That's what the Dolphins gave up for Josh Rosen and what the Patriots gave up for Mohamed Sanu, and neither really clicked. And I said to myself, you don't need to win the trade twice. Like, why get rid of Garoppolo? Keep him around until Trey's ready to play. I mean, not that anybody has to win the trade, but I don't see the value of getting a 5 for Garoppolo. I'd rather just keep him around until Trey can play.
100% agree. I think there were two organizations that were a really good fit for Trey Lance, and it happened to be at 3 and 4. Honestly, looking at my old organization, I was on the edge of my seat wondering what they were going to do. And if Trey would have dropped, would he truly have been the guy there versus Kyle Pitts? It's something that I'm sure is talked about in Atlanta all day here. He is fantastic as an athlete and an upside. He needs to be in an organization, like you're saying, with Garoppolo to help him. There's not a massive amount of pressure off get-go to be the guy. And you're exactly right. Keep him there. Let him grow with Garoppolo in the house.
Listen, I lobbied. My argument for Atlanta was, listen, there's two locks in this draft. Trevor Lawrence and Kyle Pitts, they're not going to miss. Those guys don't even look like college players, right? And my takeaway was this. Arthur Smith is good with tight ends. Arthur Smith will elevate Matt Ryan to a pretty cool place this year. And you don't want to be the Packers where you draft Jordan Love and then Aaron Rodgers is the MVP and you're sitting there going, we could really use a receiver. Is that I like the Kyle Pitts move because I do think the new coach, I think you guys actually did a really good job at receiver and offensive line. I think if Kyle pops with Arthur Smith, this is a big-time offense. So if you were in that chair again, could you – I know Frank quarterbacks are everything, Thomas, but boy, Kyle Pitts is unique.
Kyle Pitts is unique at so many levels. When you think about that offense with Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, who, by the way, I believe, even though it would have been a nice move to have someone in the wings, he can win a Super Bowl, and I believe that, Colin. You bring in a guy like Kyle Pitts, pair him with the receiver group as well as Hayden Hurst, who I think is a hell of a football player and athlete. Those two athletes at tight end. Look, you look all the way back when Tony Gonzalez was here in those early years for Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
There was not a better situation for Matt to be popping it around the field, high security throws. This could be a very special thing for an offense that I think can be prolific.
So you made the playoffs 6 times, 3 NFC South Division titles, which is saying something against Drew Brees and Sean Payton. Obviously, I'm sitting there thinking, when I saw you were going to be on today, I'm like, listen, you're still young, you're in shape. You got to miss the juice. Draft night's crazy fun, right?
Crazy fun. First time in 30 years that I wasn't in a draft room last night. I wanted to text Arthur Blank and tell him, look, don't feel sorry for me. I'm doing okay. But obviously we didn't communicate on that level. But it's big. This was the first time, Colin, I was ever able to step back and look at everything from a sort of a general GM view instead of from the Falcons' perspective. And it was very enlightening.
Now, you know Belichick pretty well. Do you think he was sitting there? Because I kept saying in my mock drafts, he's going to move up. He's got to move up. You got Josh Allen in your division. You know, I mean, this is what you're going to have to get through. Do you think he was close to moving up or he was just going to let it all play out?
I think they had, like, any time you're talking about Bill Belichick, as intelligent as he is and thought out as that organization is, they looked at it, they dabbled, they saw. I mean, what an amazing ending that they ended up getting a guy like Mac Jones at the 15th spot, not having to give away a whole bunch of compensation, still doing what they did in free agency. I think they were another group. They were another team that were winners in that round.
Ryan Pace, I've been critical of him. It took guts. Did you like the move to move up and get Justin Fields?
Love the move. Love the move for both him and Matt Nagy, knowing that, you know, look, I've been on the hot seat many, many more times in 1 year. Believe me, we all are. When you don't win Super Bowls and things don't work out, you're drafting off the hot seat often. That was a big time move going for a player that I think can be special for them. Get him up there in that neck of the woods. I think it's great. Matt Nagy told me yesterday, he said, look, I had similarities when I was in Kansas City with letting a quarterback continue to grow, another situation like that with what they're doing with their quarterback in Chicago right now. Give him a little bit of time. I think it took Patrick Mahomes, 17 games or 16 games in 17? I think they're hoping that they can do that in Chicago. Good, good move on their part.
All right. By the way, I was talking to Chris Ballard last year, and he says, you know, you draft guys, all you do is pay attention to the first round. He said, the first 15 picks of that second round, there are Pro Bowlers all over that place. Urban Meyer's got the first pick. Urban and his guy. Now, I like Liam Eikenberg, the Notre Dame tackle, but everybody's rolling their eyes at me this morning because they got Trevor. They're not very good at tackle. They've got two. They don't have a bell cow back. They got two backs. They need a lot of help everywhere. What would you do? I just can't get. They have two picks early second round. Your gut feeling on where Urban goes?
Look, I mean, there are some good football players there. And by the way, Profundi, you know our guy Chris Ballard, great guy, and I have a great deal of respect. And he was exactly right. So many good players there. I mean, Urban right now to do what he did in the first, you know, the first round, he and Trent Baalke. Man, I just think there are some really good players like Asante Samuel Jr. out there that I think they can continue to add to that defense, and that's a good football player to look at.
Thomas, it's great seeing you. If you're in L.A., call us. I'd love to pick your brain. You're a smart dude. You'll get back at this stuff. Next year, you'll be in a war room. That I know, and I appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks, my friend.